How we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good. Just finishing up last minute preparations for the weekend. Should be exciting.
What were you picking?
I don't know yet.
I took a shot.
We'll see.
What's your
one day thing? We'll see. I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you.
Is this job giving you a migraine?
No, I think another issue. Had a couple of those since I've been out here. I think it's more about hydration and the altitude, and that wasn't fun to go through for a second time.
You didn't have those before?
I didn't. Oh, I've had them when I was younger. I did. But nothing wrong. Neurologically, they checked me out, and I'm fine.
So, you lay off the coffee or anything?
I don't drink much coffee, so it's really nothing to cut back on. Maybe more water.
So you missed Sanchez's workout. I assume you've seen some tape or talked to your staff about it. What's your opinion based on what you guys saw? How did that change what you thought of him?
I think it just kind of confirmed what we thought, which is he's a very capable player. Did well in the workout. Great kid. A lot of the things that you look for, in a quarterback, which I think, he shows and displays, when you watch him play. He showed well for himself at the combine, and we just wanted to make sure that we, dotted the I and crossed the T on our evaluation of him as a player, as a person. Brian and Mike McCoy, came back with a good report and threw the ball well, and he performed well at the workout, and it was kind of what we expected.
Coach, do you see yourself trading up to get him?
I don't think we would do a lot of moving up from where we're at 12. Maybe there's a possibility, but I think we feel pretty comfortable with where we're at. But we'll always consider any opportunity that we have if it's the right thing for us to do, whether that be in the first round or any other round this weekend.
Do you think he's more capable than the guys you've got?
That's always that's the question that we're weighing, right now with a lot of players. He's a good quarterback. We have two good quarterbacks, and I think that's ultimately what we're going to finalize today and before tomorrow morning. We'll make sure that we feel one way or the other about it. But I know this: we feel comfortable with the guys we have. They performed well at the mini camp, and nobody in this building is afraid to move forward and play the season with them.
Joshua, when you look at the draft, ultimately, would you classify yourself as a need guy or a talent guy, generally speaking?
Well, I think you try to identify the needs of your football team. You evaluate the talent of every player in the draft. And then you hopefully we're picking talented players at positions we need them at. I think that's a fair assessment of how we're going to go about the process. If we have five of one thing on our roster and we feel pretty good about it, and there's a talented player at that spot, but there's talented players at other spots where we don't have five of those players, then we would probably lean towards filling a need and getting a very talented player at the same time if that's what we could accomplish.
What were some of the top things you learned from Bill Belichick, the way he drafts, that you're applying to your first time?
You really want to stick to your evaluation of the player. You don't want to get caught up in what all the other teams feel about the player, what the mock drafts and the media, there's a lot of hype about this time of the year and what this player could do, what that player could do, what you should do. But we've evaluated the players how they're going to fit our team, not anybody else's. And some fit other teams great, but some fit our team poorly or vice versa. And I really think it's important that the way we have our board set up, that it reflects how they would fit on our roster, how they would come in and impact our team. And there's really no reason to deviate from the way we've set it up, because it's clean, there's not that many players on it, and we feel like they would all fit and have a role in our team.
Coach,
So is there 5-10 players in this first round do you think can really help you, or do you have a specific number?
I don't have a specific number. I think there's a handful of players that, yeah, certainly would come in and hopefully impact our football team right away. I think most teams probably feel like that. You know, there's some, like I said, there's some other talented players that maybe would be more of a projection type of a player on our team or some other team. But those players are still very talented, and you got to weigh how much, you know, you're willing to do that or how much you want to do that with players in the first round.
Had to play a game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a starting 11 on defense that you would be comfortable with putting out?
We'd put 11 out there, and we're not going to play with less than that. We've had three practices to evaluate those players. You know, we got snowed in a little bit last week. We didn't hit anybody. We haven't had an opportunity to contact anything. You know, we won't be able to see that until August, and that's what this time is for, is to try to – we're going to add players to our team in a lot of different areas, put those guys in the mix, let them compete the entire spring, get them ready to go into training camp and then compete for a job and really try to battle it out and see who our best 11 are. So I really don't think it's important that, you know, we have the 11 that are going to start, you know, against Cincinnati ready right now, because there's a lot of things that change between now and then, injuries, rookies, draft choices, other decisions could factor in. But, you know, we had 11 out there last week, and there are 11 proud players that are out there when they're out there. And, you know, we've talked to our team, and we're not going to solve all our issues in a draft. You know, we're gonna coach our butt off, and the coaches are gonna try to improve the players we have here. That's why we hired them, and that's what our goal is we're gonna try to improve every player on our roster, and we're not gonna try to, you know, just fall back on some quick fix and say that, you know, if we bring some player in that all of a sudden magically, you know, now all of our problems are fixed. So we're not gonna settle for that. We don't think that's realistic, and we're gonna get everybody ready to go, and, you know, whoever the best 11 are in September, that's really what's gonna matter.
Josh, what is Brian's role in the draft room? Do you guys have equal say, or logistically?
Sure.
How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, he's headed up this entire process. He's up there right now. You know, the scouts came in yesterday, and he's with them, and going through last-minute checks and scenarios, and, you know, the phones rang a few times today, and he's really led this whole process, you know, organized the draft board, all the scouting trips. You know, we've sent the coaches on a few visits, but he's been right at the top of that process. I've communicated with him throughout that, and that's how the weekend will go. We'll sit side by side, and we feel very comfortable with where we're at in terms of how we see the players. We've watched basically all of them together, so which is an easy way to say, you know what, we got to, by the time we're done with the tape here on this guy, we got to feel a certain way about him, and we do. There's very few players that we've disagreed on by the time we're finished speaking and talking it out. And, you know, he's done a great job.
Is Sanchez your last visit or somebody?
You mean to go see him? Yes.
Yep. Josh, based on these reports, Sanchez seems to be going higher and higher up on the board. Is it that some of these teams that want to trade out are kind of using Sanchez as, you know, hostage, so to speak, if you want? You know, if you want Sanchez, come get it. Get us out of this hole.
Yeah, I'm not, it's hard for me to say, you know, because I know that there's been some people that discussed possibly being willing to move back. I don't know if Mark Sanchez is directly involved in that. But it could be. If that's a player that they're interested in trading up for, then I'm sure that those teams that are willing to go back are trying to position themselves to go back with a trading partner that's interested in him. There could be other players, I'm sure, that people are interested in and want to go up for. And again, you know, this time there's a lot of things that are put out there that maybe aren't true, and there's a lot of things that are probably true that aren't being said. So, you know, we'll have to see tomorrow, and it'll probably be an interesting, you know, first few hours there.
Would your impression be that there are more smoke screens rather than actual strategy going on, equal amount of both?
Probably an
more
equal
strategy in the this draft?
Probably an equal amount of both. I think it depends on what they're trying to accomplish. I don't, I can't speak for any other team. I know where we're at, and I feel comfortable with where we're at. I know Brian and I and Pat, and we've talked about where we're at, and we feel very good with the position that we're in right now in the first round. And like I said, if there's something for us to consider, we would consider it, as I'm sure every other team is considering either moving back or forward, however they see their draft board. But I think there's some reality to this situation where teams are trying to move back, and I think there's some reality to teams trying to move up.
A lot of the speculation about your draft is based on the assumption that you are transitioning to a 3-4 defense. Is that for sure? Or if you came to August and you did not have a nose, for example, that you were comfortable with and was starting an NFL nose, is it possible that you would go for a year with a 4-3?
We are transitioning to that, but I'll say this: if we get to any week in the season ever, and we don't feel comfortable with the 3-4 or what we did last week on offense or what we did last week on the punt team, we're changing it. So if that means you're going to look out there and see 5 defensive linemen, then you may see 5. If you're going to see 4, you may see 4. We're going to do whatever we feel every week is in the best interest of that team, beating that team, which could be that. It certainly could be going from 3-4 to 4-3, or we got to go through training camp. We got to see how that goes and see how it plays out, and there's going to be a lot of competition at a lot of spots. But I know we will never hesitate to change what we're doing schematically to try to win a game. And so if that means playing some of the year in a 4-3, then we'll do it. If it means playing most of the year in 3-4, great. If we can sit in the 3-4 and never change and play really good, solid defense and be sound and fundamental, then we'd love to do that too. And I think that, as this goes and as we go offensively, defensively, in the kicking game, you're going to see us change a lot. And that's just one aspect of it, but it could certainly happen.
So based on that, if there were a defensive end like Harris that people say is more of a 4-3 versus a Jackson that people say is more like a 3-4, the 3-4-4-3 aspect wouldn't necessarily condition the pick. The better player, the better fit for you, and anything would condition the pick.
Yeah, you have to evaluate the player, where you feel he fits in the system you're trying to run. So yes, when you're evaluating those players, you're saying, do they fit us for the 3-4, which we're trying to go ahead and implement? So I don't think you just grade them and say, well, if we draft him, then we'll go to this. If we draft him, then we'll go to that. We don't want to do that. We're drafting them based on how we feel they fit our team and what we want to do. And back to the point I just mentioned is if we feel like we got to change a little bit based on where we're at from a personnel standpoint, injuries, the opponent, then we'll do it. Then we'll do it.
From the look of minicamp, mm-hmm. looking all the way across the field, mm-hmm. it looked like you had Tim Crowder and Jarvis Moss with the linebackers. Is mm-hmm. that right?
They both worked standing up, and they both also had their hand on the ground. So they did both. Daryl Reed's another one, same thing. And that's kind of how that's going to go. Sometimes they'll have their hand on the ground if there's a 4-man front, and sometimes all of those players will be standing up. Same thing with Elvis. So there's a lot of flexibility with those players. We've seen them do a lot of the things with their hand on the ground so far in the past, and we're obviously transitioning them to be able to do both.
I know you said before that you don't hang your hat on mock drafts, but you talked about needs to fitting players to your needs. A lot of these mocks seem to show what in positions you might think are positions of need on defense for you guys, that a lot of these players may be gone. Are you confident right now that if you stand at 12, someone who fits your needs,
yes,
impact on defense will be there based on your own mocks?
It doesn't have to be on defense. It could be on defense, but I know, like I said, there's a perception of reality. Perception is that the defense is the only thing that needs fixed, and that's totally untrue. We need to do some things offensively, and we're going to take a player that we feel very comfortable with, that we feel we absolutely could put in and play, and he could help us, on one side or the other. On one side of this.
Let's say for argument's sake you wanted to bring in a defensive player, according to your mocks, is there someone at 12
absolutely
your mock,
sure,
that you feel fits that?
Sure. Sure.
Is trading back for more picks enough?
In the first round or any round? Sure. Any round? Sure. If it was the best thing to do, yeah. We're definitely going to listen and entertain whatever opportunities there are, because we feel like that there's players that are going to be drafted later that have value to our football team and we can definitely improve our team with. So if that means we feel we can still get the same player we want, you know, at 18 and we can get him at 23 or 22 or whatever it is, then we would consider doing it if somebody wanted to try to move up.
But it sounds like your mindset going in is you like 12 and 18.
I think we're in a great spot. I think we have an opportunity to get two players right away that could impact our team. So, yeah, I mean, we feel comfortable with where we're at on those two selections. But like I said, something could come up that could maybe make a difference or change your mind. And we're not blind to the fact that we could maybe move back a few spots at any point in the draft and hopefully get the same player and then gather another pick later on. So, like you mentioned, we would be open to that if that scenario was presented to us.
Are you getting more play at 18 than 12?
Say it one more time.
Are you getting more play at 18 than 12?
Meaning calls for the pick? We haven't really got many calls for picks, period. I mean, we're just, it's, you know, here and there, but it's not, there's nothing really that has kind of heated up, and we're in discussions with anybody about any of 12 or 18, period.
Is there any player in the draft that would be worth it for you to trade 12 and 18 to move up and get?
We won't do that. We won't trade 12 and 18 to go up.
Is there a pick in the top 10 where the bonus 20 is too high that you want to shy away from that?
No, I mean, you know, obviously the higher you go, the more money you're going to pay. But, you know, we feel, like I said, we feel comfortable with 12 and 18. And, we feel like we're going to get, you know, players that we want to get at those two spots.
Do you feel like there's a nose tackle in the draft, aside from DJ Raji, who would be or might be prepared to come in and be a starter in the NFL as a rookie?
That's a good question. I think there's some candidates. You know, I don't ever want to say anybody's going to come in and automatically make a huge impact. But there's definitely, you know, there's some players in the draft, I think, that play that nose position. The one thing, the interesting thing about the nose tackle position is there's not many teams in college football that you're watching play and ask those players to do what we may ask them to do in the 3-4. So even Raji, Brace, you know, there's a lot of players that kind of fit into that nose tackle description, none of which really have played truly in the 3-4. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of projecting going on with those players. I think they're all big-bodied guys that can play stout against the run, and some may have better pass rush than others to allow you to continue to play them on third down. But I think there's a lot of moving parts there because you're going to get them in, you're going to try to teach them a new seam, a new system, and we'll see how they do. So there's a handful of them, I'm sure, that are going to end up playing in systems just like ours.
You're going to adjust that much on offense and defense, like you say.
Uh-huh.
Does that make a guy's classroom performance or wonderful more important for you tomorrow?
Yeah, we, like I said, from the first day I got here, we talked about, you know, building a tough, smart football team. And I think that, you know, when you have players that, you know, are mentally capable of being flexible from one week to the next, that allows the coaches more flexibility to try to win the game. And if we can't do that, then it kind of pigeonholes us. We got to play one way. The opponent knows the way we're going to play, and now you're kind of a sitting duck at times. So if we can move and our players can adapt with us, that allows us a lot more flexibility as a staff to change how we're going to try to win each week. And that's tough to prepare for. I know that from personal experience. When you're getting ready to play somebody, you know, the Jets in previous years or the Ravens, I mean, you're not sure exactly what you're going to get, and you're watching the five games previous, and every one of them is a different scheme. But you got to pick something to practice against. So, you know, they have smart, capable players. We're trying to build a team full of those guys so that we can have the same flexibility.
That pulls some guys off the board right away.
It could. I mean, it could. Obviously, we're looking, like I said, we're looking for guys that can be flexible and can adapt and can learn. And so if that means that other players kind of get moved down or moved off the board, that's what's going to happen.
Josh, you know this issue comes up every year, the rookie salary scale. For a guy that wants every position to be earned, Warren and the way you drafted late New England and traded down to get Mayo last year. Just your general thoughts on the idea that if you do stay at 12 and 18, those guys without proving the lick are going to be among the higher paid players on your team for a guy that wants every spot to be earned on the field.
Yeah, I understand your point. You know, we're going to draft somebody. And I know this, the 12th pick and the 18th pick, if those are the two selections we end up using, then those players are going to get pushed, and we're going to feel when we draft them that they're worthy of those selections. And if we don't feel that they're worthy of that draft selection, whether it be for one reason or another, then we're going to, you know, we'll move past them and pick somebody else, or they won't be there in the first round. So we're going to try to make every one of our players that we draft this weekend earn their spot. They're going to compete just like every free agent we've brought in has competed, and they're going to continue to compete in training camp. And whatever role they earn on our football team, they will have earned it.
There was a story earlier this week, I think it was San Francisco's GM, who said that, you know, something like 7 or 8 teams in the top 10 all were calling, trying to move down and move out. So you haven't noticed that much? You said you didn't get...
There's been a few calls, it hasn't been 7 or 8 teams, I for sure can tell you, on our part. So I know that there's been a few teams that have called about interest moving back, but certainly not 7 or 8.
When you look at all of the people that you have as potential outside linebackers in a 3-4, including the former defensive ends that we talked about, but also the linebackers that are returning,
yep.
This draft is considered very strong at that spot, outside backers / 4-3 ends. In terms of need, would it make any sense for you to draft one of those guys?
Sure, if he could fit. I will say this, that it... In terms of numbers, I think your statement is true. In terms of evaluation of those players, that's where it gets a little bit tricky, because you're taking a lot of 4-3 ends and you're projecting them to move out and stand up, just like the guys we just talked about. So deep could be, or it could not be deep. There's not that many players that play standing up on the line of scrimmage all the time in college football. It's kind of like the nose dilemma. So in terms of looking at those players as a whole and not really differentiating the 4-3 ends from the outside linebackers that have played in a true system, you know, you're watching some guys play the way you're going to play, and you're watching a lot of other guys play nowhere near the way you're going to play. So again, you're still making a projection. It does make sense if we feel like the player can make that projection from an end to an outside linebacker, or if there's an outside linebacker that we have graded and evaluated that we feel could come in and impact our team right away, then we would certainly be interested in that also.
Where do you put DJ right now? Where do you put
Sit again?
DJ?
Weak side inside linebacker.
If Elvis and Jarvis Moss came out in the draft this year, do you think they'd be
similar?
Lumped in that
very similar.
DM?
Very similar. Yep, very similar.
As you approach the draft, are you counting on Boss Bailey, given his recovery, what you've seen from him?
We're going to have to see. You know, he's finishing his recovery. He's working very hard to do that. And he's exactly in the same boat as everybody else. We're going to put him in there when he's ready to go, and not a day sooner. When he's ready, he'll compete. He'll have an opportunity to win a spot on our team and on our defense, and I'm sure he's looking forward to that.
Are you pinpointing him as a strong side outside linebacker right now?
He could play a lot of different spots. We're going to see, you know, where he fits the best.
Where do you have Andre Davis right now? Strong side inside?
Mm-hmm. Yep. You guys are getting a lot more information out of me today than you did last week.
You mentioned you wanted smart players. Does that mean the Broncos are going to go after white bad apple types or diva types in the future?
I don't know what a diva means, but in terms of, like I said, we want a player that fits our mold. Tough, smart, competitive, versatile, good people. The more of those you have, the more flexible you are. The tougher you are, the better chance you have late in the year. The more competitive, the more versatile you are, the more things you can do with your players when you face adversity through injury during the course of the season. And if you got a bunch of good people in that locker room, you have a lot less distractions off the field.
A lot's been said, a lot of it not good, about the defensive line talent on this team. You said you've only had a few practices, but you've obviously studied As you enter the draft, how would you characterize your defensive line specifically right now in terms of talent level or what you've got to work with?
We've got a lot of players in there, and most, I'll tell you this, they're young. There's a lot of young players, and I know that a lot of young players have an opportunity to improve. And Coach Nunley came from a system in San Diego where he had a lot of young players, and he helped every one of them improve and get better. That's our goal with the guys we have on our roster right now. They're all competing. They all have an opportunity to win a job. You know, like I said, that's the hardest position to evaluate in April. In shorts, you need to hit somebody, you need to hit them in the face, you need to lock them out, you need to stop the run, you need to try to pass rush, you need to work on all those little things that include contact and physicality. And right now we've got a bunch of 300 pound men running around in shorts, and it doesn't really give us a whole lot of answers as far as what it's going to look like in August. So, you know, hey, we have what we have. Like I said before, we're happy those players are on our football team, and they're going to have an opportunity to win a job just like everybody else is.
Josh, what's the hardest part in evaluating a player going from trying to get his hand down to playing on?
He's going to be in space a lot more, and he's going to have to adjust, you know, where he ends up aligning before the ball snap based on the offense's formation. He certainly is going to be going backwards a lot more than he's going to be going forwards relative to what he's used to. Now, we may not move him backwards 50% of the time. You know, we still may rush him off the edge or whatever we choose to do. But I think the fact that he's going to be out there in space, he's got to learn and decipher what to do in coverage, which is an enormous change for a lot of these guys. Because when you start talking about reading patterns and passing off players and routes and all those things with a guy who's never thought about that, he's thought about, how do I get past the tackle to the quarterback? There's a lot of learning to be done, and I think our guys are going through that right now. They're all throwing themselves in the book. They've been in the film room. They've been with Coach Martindale, and that's a big change for them, is because they're used to going towards the quarterback, not away from him, and they're not used to walking out over number two or rerouting a guy or dropping into the curl flat zone, and there's a lot of little things that go into it, and it doesn't sound as complicated as it probably is.
When, from your research and your experience, traditionally, how long does it take for a player to get comfortable with that?
I think it's going to take a little while, you know. But I will go back to this: if the player can succeed at certain things in that role, and maybe he needs a little bit more time to develop in another role, then you use him and you do what he can do. And that's what we're going to try to do with a lot of players, whether it be on offense or defense. If he's having trouble doing this, but he can go get the quarterback and sack the quarterback, then we got to do that a lot more. I mean, that's on us, you know. And we got to try to develop that other aspect of his game. But it could take months. It could take a year, you know, before a guy totally feels comfortable with exactly what we're asking him to do in every aspect of playing outside linebacker.
What, James Harrison, a couple of years, right?
Yeah, I think it, you know, I can't speak about James Harrison. I just know that, you know, when you take a guy, like I said, that's used to doing one thing, and you're all of a sudden, now it's a whole new world. You're talking about coverages and formations, and this guy's used to saying, where do I put my hand and when can I go? You know, so it's a little different for him.
Since it may impact how you approach the draft, have you asked or has it been offered by the league what's Brandon Marshall's situation?
No, nothing so far, so we're going about business. Brandon's in here rehabbing every day. He's doing a great job, and when he's healthy, we expect him to be on the field.
Josh, you said earlier your teams throw up smoke screens at this time, you know, and trying to sleep people.
I think you guys said that.
How many smoke screens have you thrown?
Zero. Not a smoke screen. We feel comfortable with where we're at. I tell you that right now. Feel comfortable with where we're at, and we're gonna try to do as much as we can in the weekend to help improve our team in a lot of areas. And we're not going to turn our head from any opportunity to, like I said, either go back, go up, You know, whatever's best for us based on the way we have our board and the players that we feel can come in and help us win the quickest, that's what we're going to do.
It's been said that the only guy at the top of the draft who is a five technique DN or a 3-4 is Tyson Jackson. Do you agree with that?
He's one of the only guys you see that plays, that is from a height, weight, speed, size parameter, really kind of fits what most 3-4 teams have. Now, you don't see him play much 3-4 when you watch LSU play football. He's out there on the tight end a lot of times. He rushes outside the edge. So you're not looking at a player where you're going to say you got, 1,000 snaps to watch him play 5 technique. He's just height, weight, speed. Yeah, he's exactly what the guys that, Pittsburgh and New England and some of these other teams that play 3-4, that's what, the size 6'4", 295, got long arms, and that's the kind of 5 technique that most teams that play 3-4 have.
Including you? I mean, is that the kind of guy you're interested in to play your team? How does that bring that body?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, and I think there's certainly some you give some other players maybe here or there, like a guy like a Jarvis Green in New England, okay? He's not that, okay? But he can play 5 technique, okay? So you got to make a judgment there. Some players, maybe they're an inch shorter, maybe they're 10 or 15 pounds lighter, but the way they play and how they can handle themselves in that position, balance, playing the run, playing the pass, staying stout at the line of scrimmage. If they can do those things, then they can fit also as a 5 technique. There's no absolute perfect, has to be 300 pounds and 6'5". He doesn't have to be that way. If you could have them all look the same, of course, perfect world, yeah, that'd be great.
Is everybody on your roster now?
We have a lot of guys that are kind of right around there, I mean, Kenny is maybe a little shorter than that, but McBean, Askew, there's a lot of guys that have the length and they're about 300 pounds that again, relative to what they've done in their past, haven't done a whole lot where we've been able to evaluate them as a 5 technique either. So they're all going to get an opportunity to play that spot, and if for whatever reason we do happen to draft another player or two that can fit in that role, then they're going to be put in the mix and they're going to compete with everybody else.
Can Marcus Thomas play there?
I don't know. That's a good question. Some of those guys may bounce back and forth. I will say the reason I say that is because when you go to a game and you play the 3-4, you don't take, 8 linemen to the game. You may take 5. Now, if you're lucky as the defensive line coach, you take 6. But if you take 5, somebody better be able to do something more than just play one spot. Because if you get knocked out of this, then you got to have a guy that can swing. So throughout this process, there's going to be more than one player on our roster defensively that's going to be played as a 5 technique and as a nose. And, somebody's going to end up being a little bit more of a versatile candidate for us to go to the game because we have to have one.
Thank you, Coach.
Good to go?
I know there'll be
all right, thank you.